hear me okay? Everyone can hear me? Cool. Okay. Who was here last week? A few of you were here last week? Cool. Joe was here last week. I was really appreciative of your message, Joe. For those of you who weren't here last week, I'll just do a very brief recap, and I probably won't do it justice, but basically, Joe spoke about letting our light shine, and part of letting our light shine is sharing our passions, and that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to be talking about something really close to my heart, and it's a topic which has many, many opinions. Mine is one opinion, okay? I've been praying for months about this, that not only my heart would come through, but that God's heart would come through too. And so I'm just going to pray again. Lord God, I stand before you as sinner, Lord God. And a lot of me feels that I'm not even worthy to give this message. I've made choices that are wrong for so many reasons, and I just really want to pray that despite this, you can use me to speak to these people today. Amen. Okay. Okay, now today I am going to be sharing with you about our relationship with God's creation. For a long time now, I feel that God has been speaking to me in various ways about my personal responsibility to care for this planet that he has created. It is something that has really resonated with me for about the past 15 years, slowly becoming more and more urgent as I've learned more, but to be honest, as this planet has become more under threat. Going to start at the beginning. Now, we all know the story in Genesis 1, the wonderful story of creation, the grandness of God's creation. He created the earth, the moon, the stars, and the sun from what was void. From the earth, he produced all vegetation to be admired, but also for the benefit of all creation. The birds in the sky, the animals in the ocean, the land-dwelling animals, including us, the humans, the ones made in the very image of God the Creator. And it was good, and it is good. We've heard the stories up here, and I'm sure that all of you have countless stories about the beautiful things that you have seen that God has created. But creation is more than beauty. It is integral to our lives. It provides us food and shelter and meets our needs so perfectly. But more importantly than that, creation gives glory to God and points to our Heavenly Father. Romans 1:20 says, God's eternal power and character can't be seen, but from the beginning of creation, God has shown what these are like by what he has made. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Genesis 1:28. I'm going to focus on this verse for a little while. Now, I generally read a CEV Bible, which reads, God gave them his blessing and said, have a lot of children, fill the earth with people and bring it under your control. Rule over fish in the ocean, birds in the sky and every animal on earth. Now, I know as some of you are going to your Bibles, quite often this verse will say that God has given us dominion over the earth. Now, I would like to look at these terms, to rule, control, have dominion over, and what they might mean. At first glance, it may appear that we humans have been given permission to do what we will with God's creation. However, when we look more closely at what it might mean to rule, control, have dominion over, we get a very different picture. It is not something that we are to use, enjoy, manipulate, or conform to our wants and desires. God has not given us ownership of his creation, merely a position of authority over it, and with authority comes responsibility. To use an analogy, one may see it as us humans being the CEO of a company, of which God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the owners. We indeed are answerable to them as to what happens to that company. We have a responsibility to ensure that creation not just meets our needs and others' needs, but will flourish in its own right to glorify God. We only need to look at the ultimate authority or ruler in our lives to see what this looks like. our own King Jesus came to this earth and served his people. Should it not then follow that we should be servants to this creation that has been put in our charge? Should we not care for it and ensure its protection, preserve it to glorify God and to meet the others of both living today and future generations to come? Which leads me to our next question. How are we doing on this? I think there would be very few of you out there who would argue that we haven't made mistakes along the way. We are, after all, mere humans and sinful humans at that. It was bound to happen. But what have we done about these mistakes? Have we acknowledged them, or more importantly, repented of them? And what are the consequences to follow? Now, here's where I'd like you all to get involved. If you wouldn't mind, turn to the person next to you and just have a little chat about what you feel the biggest ecological problem facing our world today might be. Now I'm going to grab a tissue. Okay, so how did you get on? I want to hear some of these, so just call out. Anyone? So what's that? Pollution? Yep, that's a good one. Yep, so like climate change and things? Yep, definitely. The air, yep. Anything else? Rubbish, yes. That's a big one. Yep, deforestation, that's huge. Yeah, definitely. The truth is, I don't know the biggest problem facing our world today. I know there are definitely some majors, as we've discussed. But what I do know is that our planet, if it were to be given a health check today, would be much poorer than it would have been even 60 or 70 years ago. Romans 8, 19 to 23 talks about creation groaning. In fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show who his children are. Meanwhile, creation is confused, but not because it wants to be confused. God makes us this way in the hope that creation would be set free from decay and would share in the glorious freedom of his children. We know that all creation is still groaning and is in pain, like a woman about to give birth. The Spirit makes us sure about what will be in the future, but now we groan silently. We wait for God to show that we are his children. This means our bodies will also be set free. I believe this verse is saying that as we are set free by Christ, so is creation. As we are awakened to God's plan for us, creation eagerly awaits for us to take up our role as righteous rulers and controllers of creation. But until Jesus returns and our sins are no more around us, creation will continue to deteriorate. This, however, is not to say that until this time we do nothing. Like with all things of God, from our time of accepting Christ's gift to us, we are to strive to become more like him as we learn from his word, the Holy Spirit, and from those journeying around us, and as Romans 1:20 says, from what he has made. We need to strive to be the kind of rulers and controllers God intended us to be now. So how do we do this? At this point, I wanted to rattle off all the changes that we could make in our lives to have a better planet. Most of us know them already. Drive less, eat less meat, buy recycled or second-hand goods, or if you are buying new goods, buy them from sustainable resources, conserve water, the list goes on. And these are all good things to do, and I would love to tell them about you, and if you'd like to come and see me afterwards, I will. But instead, I thought I would focus on one topic that I feel God has been challenging me on over the past little while. It started about 4 months ago. My husband Dave came home from work and told me about an article he had heard on the radio about a large island of plastic floating in the Pacific. It's said to be twice the size of Texas, which is huge. I've since heard it referred to as many things: the plastic soup, the plastic vortex, the Pacific garbage patch. On hearing it, I thought, well, that's pretty bad, but I kind of forgot about it. A short time after this, Dave and the kids, of which I have two, went for a walk down to our local beach in Wattle Downs. One of the things that my son loves to do is going on an explore, where we go around the low tide and we hunt for crabs. On this day, our explore took us much further round than we would usually go, the kind of places most people don't usually go. The further we got round, the more I noticed plastic rubbish on the beach washed up from the sea. We started to pick some of it up, and it didn't take long before we all had armfuls of rubbish to take back to the bin. I was reminded that day of the plastic soup that David had told me about, and I felt that in some very, 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 and a few more verys, small way, we had made a dent in that plastic soup. I talked to the kids about how the plastic we had picked up was helped to save the animals, and I have since become much more aware of the plastic rubbish floating around us, and I'll sometimes pick it up, which is, I'm very grateful my son has seemed to have got the same habit, and he'll often pick up rubbish and say, look, Mum, to save the animals. My little eco-warrior. As I began to research this topic further, what I found out was truly shocking. I thought that if this island exists, surely there must be photos of it all over the internet. And so I started searching, but I couldn't find any. Maybe it was made up. I have since found out that the vast majority of plastic is underwater and it is broken into tiny pieces the size of plankton. Scientists researching in the area took water samples from the region and found 6 times more plastic in the samples than phytoplankton. And worse still, every hour that our Earth is turning, the equivalent of 2.4 million of these particles are reaching our oceans. That's every hour. And this stuff doesn't go away. Yes, it is broken down, but it won't disappear, not for many thousands of years at least. And there are many more numbers that I could recite to you. But the thing that has really moved me is the impact that it's had on the birds and the sea animals that unwittingly eat this plastic. I am about now to show you a trailer for a film about an albatross colony that lives on Midway Island, situated close to this plastic soup. I'm sure some of you will know of Midway Island for the role that it has played in World War II. It's a small island in the Pacific, 2,000 miles from any continent, so you can imagine it doesn't use a lot of plastic itself. Now, I do need to put an advisory on this. Some of the images are quite disturbing, and if you choose to close your eyes, the music is quite pretty. But if you will watch, I think that sometimes being disturbed can be good for us. Thanks, Matthew. I trust that movie would have touched some of your souls, because I know when I saw it, it really touched mine. And I just wonder now if it might be poignant to remind us all, and please know that I include myself in this as well. In Genesis 1:28, where it commands us to rule over the fish in the ocean and the birds in the sky. The thing is that it is not just those birds that are being affected, which would be catastrophe enough. But fish are eating this plastic, which means that we in turn are eating the plastic. And I can guarantee you that no matter where you go, you will never find fish for sale that says certified organic, because it just doesn't exist. And it's often the poor who suffer most because of this, those communities whose main source of protein is fish. Not to mention the generations to come who, if this issue isn't dealt with, will maybe not even be able to experience eating seafood because it'd be too toxic. This type of situation has been spoken about before so poignantly in Ezekiel 34:18-20. Now listen close to this. This verse totally spoke to me, and it is just so prophetic. Some of you eat the greenest grass, then trample down what's left when you finish. Others drink clean water, then step in the water to make the rest of it muddy. This means that my other sheep have nothing fit to eat or drink. So I, the Lord, will separate the strong sheep from the weak. I mean, if you think of that in terms of where we are at today, I just think that's just so relevant. So anyway, at this stage, I can guess what some of you are thinking, and I know because I have thought this myself. This problem is just so big, it is so huge, what can I do? And there's two ways to ask this question. There is, what can I do? Or there is, what can I do? And I'm going to answer this question by, what can I do? Because I believe that there needs to be hope. We can't just live in this despair, you know. We need to look to how we get out of this. And I believe there is hope. I believe that we don't need to give up on issues like this. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 25:14-30. This is a parable of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who bought 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I do not scatter seed. Well, then you should have put the money on a deposit with the bankers, so that when I return I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now there are 2 things I want to focus on this passage. Firstly, the master gave differing bags of gold according to their ability. God knows what we are capable of. Whatever he calls us to do, being it picking up litter from the beach or petitioning Parliament around changes in their packaging law, he will not ask us to do something that he does not also give us the skills to do. He knows what we can and should be doing. And this will be different for everyone, okay? I know that I've made decisions in my life which I'm going to share with you now, but I just ask that, you know, you ask God what it is that you are capable of doing. After watching that movie trailer, there were 2 things that I decided I was capable of doing. One was to pick up plastic when I see it lying on the ground and either putting it in the bin or, if practical, recycling it. And it doesn't really matter where the rubbish is, because wherever you are, it's downhill to the ocean. And it is sneaky little stuff. It will find its way there. The other is not to buy beverages from plastic containers. Now, this is a sacrifice for me as well as my family, because I'm the one who does the grocery shopping for them. And it will mean that mostly I drink tap water, because the juice and the soft drinks and the glass bottles are usually more expensive, so they'll become a treat. But for me, I feel like that's something that I am capable of doing. And just as a side note, I've told you all this now, so I'm accountable to you, okay? So, yeah, it's going to be a lot harder for me to back out now. The other thing that I want to pick up on is that the master says, you have been faithful in a few things. God does not start off by asking us to clean up the ocean, but he may be asking us the role that we play. Could we take our reusable shopping bags to do our shopping? Are we able to reduce the amount of plastic that we purchase? Yes, it's great to recycle, but not all plastic is recyclable. And even if it is, isn't it better that the demand for plastic be reduced so that by not using plastic products or products with the plastic packaging, there isn't the demand out there, therefore less will be made? Every bit of plastic counts. When researching this topic, I came across the idea that you can never really throw anything away. You can send it away, but it still exists. I wonder if we would think differently about the things that we purchase if we looked not only at the financial cost to us of an item, but also the social and environmental costs to others and to ourselves. Would we take more care in choosing what we think we need? Plastic will always be part of our lives. In Western living, it is impossible not to purchase any product that is either plastic itself or the packaging, but we can certainly reduce the amount of plastic that we buy. Now, of course, both these points can and should be applied to other areas of our lives, plastic related or not, including other issues to do with God's creation. And at this particular time, maybe God is not speaking to you about plastic. Maybe there is some other environmental issue that's been bubbling under your surface. Maybe you are being called to make a few changes in this area of your life to better serve God's creation. And perhaps this may be the first time that you've been presented with this call to care for the planet. Maybe your few things would be to pray, and I hope that this would be the call for all of us, to ask God what he thinks about this earth, and to ask for his opinion about what we as individuals can do, and to ask him to help us get out of this mess. We are not alone. What God calls us to do, he also gives us the ability to do. Let us be faithful in the few things that God has entrusted to us as we attempt to rule, control, and have dominion over his creation in a God-honoring way. And I think to end, I would like to pray again, if that's okay. Lord God, I just thank you for giving me this message, and I know for me it was a hard message to write, and so I think for some people it might be a hard message to hear. And Lord God, I just really want to pray that that what would be taken from this is not despair but hope, that we would know that we can make a difference and that every little bit counts. And I just really want to pray that you'd be with us this week and just show us more of your beauty and more of who you are as we go on in this.